time for Newsmakers with Rhett DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. It's live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave.
Setting the tone right there.
House of Cards. All right.
All right. Dave, thank you for setting the tone today. You listen to Newsmakers on KYKN. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, where we talk local initiatives, local individuals, local ideas, local institutions. And speaking of institutions, boy.
This one kind of makes me angry.
Salem City Council soiled the institution. Last night.
Yeah.
I tell you. So that's why we got the house cards there. I think we've got some people that think this is Washington, D.C., and they need to have political intrigue, and they need to do power grabbing and manipulations and all sorts of things. Anyway.
So what was the first question I asked you this morning when you came in? What was the vote of the Salem City Council on the bridge?
Councilor Lewis's motion to do their job and respond to the three questions.
That's all they had to do is respond.
To the state agency, yes, yeah. To answer the questions, which wouldn't have done anything, really, as far as moving the process forward. But that was substituted by Councillor Tom Anderson in Ward 2. Hopefully somebody lives in Ward 2 that would like to change who is representing Ward 2. But Tom Anderson in Ward 2 substituted that motion in a pre-planned tactic to replace it with a motion to let's talk about it again and get some information in January. So in other words, a stalling tactic to wait a couple of months and because they don't have enough information. Mind you, 10 minutes later, Tom Anderson said, well, I followed the entire process and I read all of the studies before I ran for city council. As his motion is saying, and he adamantly said that they've been kept in the dark and they don't know enough about this and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it was unpleasant. I have unpleasant things to say, and I'm going to try to avoid that today. We have happy things to talk about.
But okay.
For the listener who heard us talk to the call of action yesterday, I thought at least let us know how this city council vote went. Basically, what they said is, we're going to shove it into January. We'll vote after that, because what Councilor Lewis is trying to get the people to do is be on record saying, no, we want to kill the bridge, or we're going to move it forward. They have to pick. They can't just sit. No, I'm going to. And then what they did is they made that decision, that public vote. They delayed it until January. So, unfortunately, Steve McCoy, a fine counselor in Ward 4 in South Salem, he's believing the council at the end of the month, at the end of the year, rather. And so another of the progressives can take in place, and then so on and so forth.
So they basically kicked the can down the road
tactic,
again.
You know, it's worthy of Washington, D.C., honestly. And unfortunately, we talk about civic governance and servant leadership. Did I say civic governance?
Yeah,
something citizen like that. Volunteer governance.
Yeah,
and yeah.
8 years? Has this been going on?
No, that's been going on 12, going on 13.
Okay, almost 13 years they've been kicking the can down the road to build a bridge, going through the ridiculous amount of red tape, and wasted now $8 million.
Well, we'll see how it pans out in January, right? That's what it looks like.
I'm really kind of upset about that.
This is a relatively new crop of counselors. Counselor Hoy was
How many times has it changed over 13 years?
Chris Hoy was wired 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, was offended and thought his character was being impugned by characterizations that this would be a stalling tactic or
what?
Blah, blah, blah. When, you know, his stance, he said, we think you're impugning our motives. Mind you, it's the first words out of his mouth. So he has just now exposed the fact that he had already decided before there was like 50 or 60 people testified,
right?
And vast majority for moving this forward. And he said, our motives, you're impugning our motives in getting this done. And it's like, you haven't even weighed in yet. So how could we be impugning you? Anyway, I think he did enough to impugn his own character by doing the backroom decision making and not listening at all to all of the people that are there or responding to them. But
this is one of the reasons, Brent, that I hate and I'm getting sick and tired of politics. And it's worse at the local level than it is to the national level.
You know what? I have not seen that in Salem. I have never seen anything this bad as far as politicking, as far as manipulation, as far as factionalism. I have not seen it in 20 years.
Wow.
At least, and there was a city councilor I completely disagreed with. He was somewhat of a vowed, true socialist type. But I had respect for him. Mm-hmm. Actually, he used to represent Ward 2. Because he'd say, yes, we're doing A, we're doing B, we're doing C, and I think it's the right thing to do, and I'm proud of it. I'll take that every day.
Yeah, that means he was doing his job.
Did last night.
Yeah, he was doing his job.
Stand up and tell us what you stand for.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So they're not saying what they stand for. They won't do their jobs and vote on things that come up at council. And they kick him down the road.
So the word is disingenuous.
Oh, okay.
The word is disingenuous. They're not being genuine and they're not being entirely truthful when they say, well, we don't know enough about it. But we all ran on an anti-bridge platform. But we don't know enough about it now. Nobody told us anything.
Uh-huh.
It's disingenuous. We want to wait till January. The reason you want to wait for January is because you think you have another vote. Everybody in the room knows that. Everybody knows that you have all the information you want to know and you're just waiting to have another vote.
How many reports?
And to not go on record.
How many reports do we have to give them to vote on something?
Okay, here's the last thing we're saying about it. Because we're going to talk about the airport today, folks. Okay. You're listening to Newsmakers and KYKN. And this is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. And we are going to think about the airport and air service to Salem. It's going to be a happy talk. So the last thing. Here's my perspective on because I'm big on, you know, team.
Sure.
We're looking at a regional team, including many turnovers of the Salem City Council members in the last 12 or 13 years. Many turnovers of the Kaiser City Council. We have Marion County commissioners involved. We've got Polk County commissioners involved. We've got ODOT. We've got U.S. Department of Transportation and the Salem Area Transit. And all of the leadership that's come and gone, worked towards this goal. They finally came up with a compromise. They've had a solution. They're like, well, it wasn't the solution I wanted. So I'm going to stop the whole thing and throw it in the toilet. And it's like, you know what? You just got here. Why? How dare you? What audacity do you have to say, well, it wasn't the answer I wanted. So now I'm going to throw all that work. Talk about impugning the character. How about disrespecting all of the work has been by so many elected officials, so many staff members that work for the government over a decade. We're not going to lend any credence to that because I didn't like what the decision was, where the bridge might be.
I know.
I'm going to have a hard time with this one.
I know.
So anyway, I need to change subject or I'll get myself in more trouble than I'm already in. We got to get the mayor on.
We do. And we need to take a break.
Jim Lewis on. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about bringing air service back to Salem. That's commercial air service, also known as passenger air service. And I'm going to tell you why it's going to work, what the history is, what our goals are, what our timing is. And it's going to be fun, honestly. We'll give Dave an education here on all things flying in and out of Salem.
Please.
And not getting on the 205 and not flying out of Portland. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up. Goodbye.
But we say hello.
Yeah, what does it say about me? I know the words of this song. So, quick story to set the tone. It was 2008. My family, I took my boys to Texas, and we flew out of Salem. We did a quick transfer in Salt Lake City. Went and saw the Rangers play the Mariners. Visited my uncle, flew back. Flight arrived at 9:55, I think. 9:55 in Salem. And I was home watching the second segment of the news, 10 o'clock news.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
That's impressive.
So awesome. And the people that took advantage of the service out of Salem on Delta through SkyWest in 2007, 2008, loved it. And they supported it. Very big misconception. The first one we're going to try to tackle today. But it was incredible. Oh, you got off this little plane with 49 other people. You grabbed your bags right there. You got in the little parking lot. If you're not getting picked up, or these days you could Uber. And you drove 10 minutes home. And I didn't miss the sports. I didn't miss the weather. I was there for the second segment of the news. It was so great. There was no hour plus time to drive from PDX. There was no 15-minute shuttle to get the parking lot. And it was incredible flying out of Salem. And we'd like to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about that today. If you have questions or you have want to pipe in, our call-in line is 503-393-1430. So if you want to weigh in on any of these things happening at City Council or ask questions about the recruitment effort to get passenger air service back to Salem, call us at 503-393-1430. So that's what happened 10 years ago. And the first question, and I know you're I can read your mind, Dave.
Okay.
You're thinking, why don't we have it?
Yeah, why don't we?
How did it end? And this is the biggest misconception, and someone testified to City Council ignorantly last night that it failed. And the reality was Delta Airlines launched the Salem service, and in January of 2008, they talked to Mayor Janet Taylor and said, hey, this is the most successful small market rollout we've ever had.
Okay.
Right? January 2008. We'd like to start talking to you about going to California. We'd like to expand our service because we weren't even looking for Salt Lake City service.
Right.
We weren't, which was really just a hub to go back east. But we wanted California service. And it tells us like 6 months in, and like, this is incredible. You guys, you know, fill in the aircraft and blah, blah, blah. So that was January 2008. By October, they were gone. And if you recall, that was the year that the barrel of oil went from $40 to $145 in like 6 months.
I remember.
Okay. So the barrel of oil, $145, airlines are just dying. And every airline, including Delta, canceled flights, canceled locations, canceled destinations with those 50-seat regional jets that were being used in Salem.
Yes.
You could not spread, and you can't blame them, they couldn't spread the fuel costs across 50 seats. There's no way to recoup that. So on the day that Salem lost service, 20-some other Delta destinations lost service. It was not Salem failing. That's the point we have to get. It was a huge success. It was their best rollout ever. And they wanted to expand the service. And then the cost of fuel combined with, oh, we're at the start of the greatest recession the nation has ever seen.
Yes.
Between those two things, that's why the service we didn't have. If it weren't for that spike in fuel prices, I'm convinced we'd probably have Northern California, Southern California, Seattle service, and some sort of link to go back east at a hub today. And we wouldn't be driving up the 205. So that's the first message. It was a huge success 10 years ago. And now we're 10 years later, and a group of people in the community have decided, hey, we liked it. We want it back. And most of these people are in the business community and have no skin in the game. They just want it for the capital city. They're embarrassed that the capital city doesn't have it. They're 47 states out of 50 have air service already, or they've got an airport that's closer to us, closer to them than PDX is to Salem. Fun fact. Got a fun fact. Your first one.
Okay.
We are further from PDX than San Jose International is to SFO.
That's true.
We are further from PDX than Everett is from Washington, and they've got airlines coming and going there a lot now. So the distance is a huge factor. The reason it's kept us from having service, but now with demographics and traffic congestion, and now with the legislature talking about tolling the 205, the cost of going to Portland has just become prohibitive in terms of time and money. The gas, the parking, the hotel stays the night before, and maybe the tolls you have to pay down the line. And so it'd be cheaper to, hey, just drop me off at the Salem Airport. Oh, I'm going to park there. What's it cost? $5 a day.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Actually, in 10 years ago, they were giving it away for free just to encourage people to fly out of Salem. And it worked. And it worked. So that's the Delta story. Unfortunately, the Statesman Journal editorial ran a couple months ago, and it was full of errors about how much it costs, the community. And we don't have time on this day. We might have to carry 2 or 3 days, but yeah, we don't have time to talk about how many errors there were in the Statesman Journal editorial, but don't take their word for it, folks. I'm telling you. All right. By the way, my family moved to San Jose in 1970. And in 1970, San Jose International had no covered terminals. They were just walkways with, you know, with a covered walkway that you just walk down the tarmac and
kind of out of the element.
I mean, we have better. We don't have as many. We have one gate, but we, at least you have an indoor gate and walk to the plane here in Salem. So.
Yeah, we have Spencer Carroll on the phone.
Spencer is joining us. He's been part of this effort. It's an ad hoc community group trying to bring back and recruit commercial air service. And I know Spencer pretty well, and I know that he is an aviation industry attorney. And he's been...
You turn down your radio there, Spencer.
Yeah. I'm quite away from it.
There we go. And one of the things that Spencer has been involved in the region, is emergency preparedness. And I thought this was interesting, having to do with how vital the Salem Airport is to our community and to the region. Spencer, who you got yourself involved with there?
Hey, Brent. As you know, I worked for Marion County Emergency Management for over a year. I was the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Columbia County, and I am an active participant with the Oregon Emergency Management Association, including the City of Salem Emergency Manager Greg Walsh. I regularly attend his Emergency Management Advisory Council meetings.
Well, Spencer, tell me what you told me about PDX and the expectation when the Cascadia earthquake hits.
Well, according to the Oregon chapter of the American Society of Civil Engineers, they expect PDX to succumb to liquefaction in the event of a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. So that means the ground beneath it will basically liquefy and the airport will be rendered inoperable.
Liquefaction, that's not a pretty name. That's not a pretty word.
How would that happen?
With the earthquake?
Yeah, how would it liquefy? I'm kind of clarify that a little bit.
Well, I haven't taken a geology class since I was in community college many years ago.
Neither have I, so.
to the best I can describe it, it depends on the consistency of the ground beneath and also the content of water within the soil. And there's some kind of magic geological process that when the shaking starts, the water rushes up to the surface and creates almost kind of a sand trap, quicksand. But to be any more accurate or detailed, we'd have to get a geologist on the line.
Well, let's skip right to how does that affect the Mid Valley?
Right.
Because people will not be able to, probably they can't even drive to PDX even if it doesn't liquefy because of the bridges. And how are we going to get our loved ones, our emergency responders, this and that, in and out of the region? How are we going to get the Red Cross here? How are we going to get the National Guard here? And I know there's an emergency plan for that. Spencer, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, so in the event of the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake, and if there is a presidentially declared state of emergency for Oregon, the airport in Redmond is going to be the base of operations for FEMA's deployment. Salem Airport is listed as a Tier 1 airport, so that means it's going to be a base of operations to get the federal assistance from Redmond to Salem and the surrounding areas. And as we discussed, assuming PDX is going to be inoperable, Salem is going to be the point of distribution for federal aid from Salem to Portland to the coast and the surrounding areas. So that means it's important for Salem to be resilient and up to speed in terms of maintenance and repair, because right now Salem could handle the embarkation and departures of C-130s, but as you know, Brent, the preferred aircraft of choice for federal operations is C-117. And the airport would have to be a little bit bigger and more reinforced to handle those operations. Until that time, we would probably receive a few C-130s with federal assistance and also, of course, Chinooks, CH-46s, and Sikorsky H-60 helicopters, otherwise known as Blackhawks, like we have on the field now.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize it's fun to see, you know, we've got National Guard helicopters there, and we also get U.S. Army there. I'm going to interrupt you here. Just hang on just a second, Spencer, while I take that thought. People don't realize who uses the airport. You know, if you're not a private pilot, and some people want to characterize it as a playground for rich people, and I'm not saying there aren't rich people with assets out there. By the way, they pay taxes on those assets. But let me give you an idea of who's flying in and out of Salem. I mean, of course, we see FedEx flying in and out every single day with the packages and so forth. But we see companies coming in that are doing economic development work, and they're investing in the region. I've seen planes belonging to Miracle-Gro when they were doing some agricultural whatever they were purchasing or selling. Costco comes in, Target, Home Depot, maybe even Amazon since they're new to the area.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen people that own boat manufacturers and hoteliers come into the area. We've seen, of course, lobbyists when the government's in session. We've seen the FBI fly in a 737. One time we had the first lady in. We've seen a jet that belongs to the Indianapolis Colts come in, and presumably, nice. You know, visiting family. I don't know what they're doing here, but we've seen them in. A number of Pac-12 teams and athletic teams and other things come
in. Yeah, heading down to Corvallis.
We've had entertainers come through that are performing at the casino mm-hmm. or at Carrie Underwood came in to perform at the country music.
Right on, Carrie.
Yeah, and she came in a 737 as well. Christmas tree helicopters this time of year. Forest fire aircraft comes in, refuels, and they're fighting the forest fires up there. Life Flight has a permanent presence on the airport, as does the Civil Air Patrol. And, of course, and I just mentioned the U.S. Army. Mm-hmm. So to see those Blackhawks come in, land six or eight at a time, and they're traversing in their own maneuvers, it's a sight to behold. So, Spencer, we appreciate the work you're doing on recruiting this air service. Are you optimistic about it?
Absolutely. And I suffered through the 3 hours and 15 minutes of the city council meeting with you last night. And
suffered.
I also wanted to correct some of the misconceptions I think the city of Salem public might have. There was one Facebook comment. I'm sorry, I'm out of town right now. I'm up in Seattle, but I was watching live on Facebook, and there was a comment on Facebook to the effect that, oh, gee, nobody really knows what's going to happen and who's going to pay for it with regard to the airport and the bridge. But I addressed the airport part of the comment, and I said, sir, agenda item 3.3D is exactly speaking to the funding of this airport. We are only asking the city for their permission to write an application for a grant for federal funds. Those funds have already been set aside and paid for by taxpayers, and the federal government put it into a special bucket specially designed for small airport community development. The grant that we got permission to ask for last week is a state fund which has already been paid for by taxpayers and is sitting in a bucket specially designated for rural airport community development.
Well, let's clarify that real quick. Those are important topics. Not only is that bucket already full, it's full of aviation tax money. It's not general fund money. It's not your income tax money. That money going towards that grant is paid for by taxes on aviation fuel. And the other one, the federal government, hey, we're looking at two things that are not juxtaposed. That federal grant we're looking for, if we don't get it, it's going to go to Santa Fe. It's going to go Peoria. It's going to go to Charlottesville. But it's going to be used for this purpose. So we might as well get some of our taxpayers' tax money back from Washington and into Oregon. And the same with the state grant. And it's not an either or. So we'll bring money into the community that we already paid in taxes for that purpose. We're going to have to take a break. Spencer, thank you for being with us. We'll talk more airport as the days and weeks go on. This is Brent along with Dave on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Oh, I like it. I think next time I do karaoke, it's got to be a little Sinatra action. This is Brent DeHart, and here with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN, and we're talking happy news about the Salem Airport and efforts to get passenger service back out of Salem McNary Field, which some of us would like to change. I've heard noises about changing that to Willamette Valley Regional Airport.
Really?
Due to its importance and significance to the tourism trade and to the wine industry.
Hmm.
You think about flying into Napa, right?
Right.
Santa Rosa, California. It would be the same kind of regional impact where people would fly in to let's see, Willamette Valley Regional Airport.
Right.
Wine Region Airport, whatever you wanted to call it, and drop their tourism dollars here. The economic development could be significant.
Sure.
And not just in the tourism sector, but especially in the tourism sector.
At last count, how many wineries were around?
I think
here?
It's a bazillion and three.
Yeah.
I think that was the
300 and something?
I don't know. I think it is. And California money coming up and buying wineries.
Uh-huh.
And bigger names, bigger dollars, bigger stakes, bigger exposure, as if the Willamette Valley isn't already famous enough. So at any rate, passenger air service. I told you the story about how great the service was. We had two flights a day going to a destination that we weren't really looking for in Salt Lake City 10 years ago. And we did support that. Absolutely proved that we were a market. Got shot down by the cost of fuel escalating dramatically when we lost the service along with dozens of other cities at the time. Now we're trying to get it back. And we had Spencer Carroll on the line here just before the break. Spencer's an area attorney, and he specializes in aviation law, and he's part of the steering committee to help get this passenger service back. And a lot has been done already. So let me give you a quick update. So the group started meeting. People started talking amongst the Chamber of Commerce, of course, SEDCOR, the Economic Development Corporation for our three-county region, and Travel Salem, of course, tourism and visitors. For the area. So conversations started about, hey, let's get this going. We pitched it to a couple of focus groups over lunch and said, these are the statistics we've purchased. The statistics and the data is what makes it so exciting. I'm a data guy. I don't know about you. I'm a data guy. I like the numbers, and the numbers showed that we are absolutely a viable market for commercial air service. So we're talking about, this is where it comes down to the nitty gritty. We're talking about, of all the people in our area, people for whom Salem would be the closest airport.
Sure.
They're already buying tickets. We need to grab 1 out of 10 to fill 2 flights a day.
That's not bad.
1 out of 10. Our consultant has worked with communities trying to recruit air service where they have to get 40%, where they have to capture 40%. Of the market that's driving them by to go to the bigger airport, what have you. So that's not bad. That means 1 out of every 10 times you decide to fly somewhere, you choose Salem. And if people do that, we're going to fill those aircraft.
Yeah, easily.
The data is persuasive. And that got everybody excited. And so that we said, well, we're thinking about doing a community education in October. And the response that was given was, what are you waiting for? Let's go now. And so there was a big event on June 11th. 270 people showed up at the conference center to hear about this. They were all the way from McMinnville to Corvallis, up in the canyon and Woodburn, and a large contingent of the local business community. And they were given the data, and there was instant polls. It was incredible. So the community is very excited about supporting this. And the fact is, we don't have to get everybody. So somebody could be listening and saying, well, I'm not going to do it. It'd probably be $50 more to fly out of Salem, and I'm going to drive to Portland. That's fine, especially if you're a family of five, right? That's like $250 if it's more expensive to fly out of Salem. And we have to acknowledge it's going to be more expensive to fly out of Salem.
But if you put in gas and parking at PDX,
right,
there's the extra $50, right?
Yeah.
Or more.
And the time value of money. And, you know, when you think about taking a half a day to get to leave for your destination or 15 minutes, it's incredible.
You have to add at least 2 hours. Just to get to the airport in PDX from Salem.
Oh, yeah. Three and a half hours.
Yeah, because you're talking a lot of traffic. You're talking a long way. Main hubs.
205 is the bane of my existence.
217 is mine.
Anyway.
But I-5 is not helpful either.
So we talked to Spencer Carroll about the emergency preparedness and the public safety aspect. We've talked about how it could be great for economic development and tourism. And then there's just quality of life, where we're not going to spend as much time in our cars. And we're not going to be more and more gridlock. Can you imagine what the population growth is going to be up and down the I-5 corridor between here and PDX in the next 15, 20 years? No. So
gridlock.
Yeah, it's already terrible. We're just planning on it slowing down in Wilsonville and probably coming to its dead stop on 205.
Well, it's going to be down further than that.
And then
it's closer to that.
And you know what else is employers, the institutions, the state government, the universities, all these people that are larger institutions, the hospital, that are going to pay people mileage to drive to the PDX. They're going to pay them for their time to drive to PDX.
Right.
Often they're paying for the overnight stay prior to an early flight and the parking. They understand it Salem? Oh, it's $50 more. I'm just making that up, folks. Don't take me at my word. I don't know if it's going to be $40 more, $20 more C2. I don't know. But whatever it is, they're going to factor in all of different costs.
Hotel will be cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and
parking's cheaper.
People have meetings up at PDX because that's where people are going to fly in and out of. How would we like to have that in our local restaurants? How would we have them renting cars in Salem?
In our convention center?
At the convention center. It's easier to recruit people to come and visit downtown Salem and be at conventions and conferences.
Especially when the bridge gets put in and the trucks aren't in downtown.
Don't talk about the bridge. It's gridlocked. There is no bridge, and we have 18-wheelers downtown.
Well, I'm talking 20 years down the road.
One thing we hear a lot, we heard a council meeting last night, and Spencer was trying to talk about factual inaccuracies.
Yes.
And they want to talk about, well, greenhouse gases are jets, and we shouldn't be flying jets.
What?
All right, people. People are not going to stop visiting grandkids, right?
They're not going to stop doing business.
They're not going to stop doing business. They're going to go to conferences. People are going to fly. It's not a question of whether or not they're going to fly. They're like, oh, they shouldn't be flying because greenhouse gases of the jets and blah, 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 and global warming and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, it's not a matter of fly or not fly. People are going to take the family to Disneyland.
Right.
People are going to go on vacations to Tokyo, or their students are coming from Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of whether or not people are going to fly. They're going to make that own choice. They're going to make their own choice to fly. The question is, are they going to sit in traffic for an hour and a half before they fly?
Right.
Now, if you're really interested in greenhouse gases, let's not have them drive 130 miles round trip before they get on a jet.
Yeah.
So it's not an either or. And some of these things just don't carry any water. We have to get the council and the public and everybody to understand some of these arguments just don't make any sense.
No.
So time for another fun fact, I think.
Okay.
We mentioned it. Carrie Underwood came in the 737. Yeah. People. In this, before deregulation, before Reagan's deregulation in the early 80s, I think it was 1983, 737s routinely flew in here with United Airlines.
Okay.
And you hear a lot about the runway and the runway length. Let me give people the facts. Absolutely, a 737 cannot take off in Salem fully loaded at maximum gross weight. That means however many passengers for that configuration, maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred passengers and full of fuel.
Sure.
Well, guess what? Our runways are longer than Orange County John Wayne Airport. Hello, okay. Let that sink in.
Yeah.
I mean, 737s are flying in and out. Southwest is in and out of there every hour of the day, right?
Yeah.
So
been there.
Yeah. So anybody who goes to Disneyland
on a 737.
Yeah, on a 737. So absolutely, there's some restrictions. You have to grant that, but they're not that big. Our runway is just over a mile long, and it's longer than Orange County John Wayne Airport. And they only have one runway going the same direction, where we have a more safe split runway. Yeah, nice X. Anyway, a lot of people don't realize what a great asset we have out there, how many jobs are out there with Garmin, with West Coast Washers. And we talked about the B-17 that was being built here a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. We talked about that. So a great community asset, frankly, has been treated like an ugly step-sibling and not given the resources and attention it deserves. I'm going to touch on one more thing before we break here, back to misconceptions.
Okay.
This recruitment effort is private dollars. Okay. We're not asking for the city to tear municipal funds away from fire and police or sewer or anything, or parks or homeless.
Okay.
The airport budget is self-sustaining already.
That's good.
Does not get general funds. Actually, the airport contributes funds to the general fund.
Wow.
So, yeah, the general fund that's used for parks and public safety and so forth is not being used to prop up the airport. The airport has to generate its own money and does.
Yeah.
So it's mainly from, you know, rents out there, some FAA funds and so forth, and gasoline fuel flowage fees and things like that. But not common misconception that people are paying their property taxes and it's going to the airport is not true at all. Okay, so, and the money that we need to recruit an airline, and we're going to have to get into this more deeply, and maybe get another member of the committee in here to dive into it, but basically, you have to put a package together, just like recruiting a company.
Yeah.
You know, Texas puts a package together with land and tax breaks to attract jobs and put their citizens to work, and it's similar with airline recruitment. And there's a consultant. We've hired a consultant with private dollars. We've raised the money to pay him. We've raised the money to ask him to write the grant and so forth. And again, these are private dollars raised in the community because people just want it. And honestly, nobody really has a dollar to gain. It's not even a financial motive.
Nice.
So some of it is civic pride. Some of it is I can't stand driving to Portland. It is that way for
That's
me.
Because
I know.
They care.
They do care. And then they flew from Delta 10 years ago. So have you learned a lot about Sam Airport so far today?
I have. All right. Self-sustaining, quicker.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit cheaper.
Bigger than people imagine.
Yeah.
All right. So the 737s, they can come in, but we're talking on a commercial air service. We're talking about Q400s, the ones that Horizon flies out there in a short, or 50, 70, 90 seat regional jets. Personally, I'd love to see at least the 70 size because I think we're going to fill them.
Yeah.
We need 150 people a day to fly to San Francisco.
It's just like the Intel jets out of Hillsborough.
So we are going to talk.
Just like those, right? Like 90 seaters?
Intel has their own jets, don't they?
Yeah, but they go in and out of Hillsborough, though.
Oh, yeah.
They use the airport.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. You do.
Yeah. No, they do.
Okay. Unfortunately, I'm not in a tax bracket that has my own personal jet. But
so <yet. laughs>
the recruitment effort, according to the data, go back to the data, that where people will most likely be able to fly is, drumroll, San Francisco, Seattle, or possibly Denver, on United, Alaska, and possibly SkyWest,
uh-huh.
Maybe SkyWest in conjunction with Alaska or United. And the reason has to do with, you know, their business plans. You're not going to go to an American or a Delta and change their business plans.
No.
But United's business plan includes finding ways to feed the San Francisco hub, finding additional ways. So we fit into that because we could fly Salem, San Francisco, and then everywhere in the world.
Right.
Right. So how'd you like to go Salem, San Francisco, Mexico City, Salem, San Francisco, Paris?
Oh,
right. Salem,
yeah.
San Francisco, Miami. So anywhere in the world, really.
Yeah.
New York. Absolutely. So and the same thing with Seattle. And so both of those things, it's most likely to fit in the plan of one of those two larger carriers. And those are two of their hubs. If United is excited about it and they want to fit this hub in Denver, that would be target number three.
Nice.
So you heard it here first, folks. So we're going to try to recruit Alaska or United or SkyWest or anybody who wants to come, commercial air service to California, to Seattle, where you can connect, or to Denver for the people going back east. All right. One last segment. We're talking about the Salem Airport, the Willamette Valley Regional Airport, as we would have it, on 1430 KYKN. Salem, you're listening.
Newsmakers continues with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back, Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers KYKN 1430 at the noon hour. We're talking about the Salem Airport, McNary Field, and the prospect of being able to fly in passenger aircraft again and keeping it and sustaining it and growing it for the rest of our lifetime and for our legacy and for our kids and our grandkids. Pretty exciting stuff. I feel like I'm talking a mile in a minute.
You are,
okay.
But that's okay.
Fired up today. Yeah. So try not to be negative about the bridge vote last night at City Council. And hey, be fair, I have to thank the Salem City Council because there are two grants put into motion this month, one having to do with the Oregon Department of Aviation and one having to do with the federal Department of Transportation. And both required the Salem City Council to consent to the grants being applied for. So I want to thank them for enabling the community effort to go after this. So our job as the community is to make sure that we do not draw down city funds and we're not taking funds that could be used otherwise allocated. So we kind of need to disperse with those kind of objections from the community. They frankly don't find the airport a priority. So for the people who it is a priority, we're raising the funds. We're going after the grants and hiring people to write the grant application and so forth. It also means, actually, once you get commercial service, you get more about you. I mean, the airport authority will get more money from the FAA. The minimum kind of support that they get for improvements goes from 150,000 to a million.
That's pretty big.
As soon as we start, yeah.
That's pretty big.
So not only is it not going to cost the airport more money and the infrastructure is already there, we really don't have to pour any more money into it that we didn't already do 10 years ago. But huge amounts of money continue to come and grow.
And the terminal's ready to go and everything?
Terminal's ready to go. Yeah. Great. I should have, that's a great
idea. I was going to say, you know.
Runway's long enough, fueling
terminal's
systems.
Good. Parking's good.
Yeah, and parking is a concern, but honestly, it hadn't been a problem with the size aircraft that's coming in and out.
Yeah.
Plus, the tendency of people with Salem is just to drop off. It's right set there in the middle of town. People just drop off.
Oh, hey.
So not that many people are parking there, and even if they have, you know, 50 seat planes for twice a
day. Now, what about the expansion at the Aurora Airport?
So Aurora, we did have a caller on during the break and ask about that. It's a completely different beast, Aurora. Aurora's a very busy airport. Again, it's one of those things that's not an either or.
It's more personal, right?
It's personal corporate, primarily corporate. They have gained a control tower, which is good because they had way too many flights flying into Aurora without a control tower for a long time. And it's more designed for an overflow of the Portland general aviation use. So smaller planes and corporate planes, but not commercial service. There was an article in the paper just a couple of weeks ago, and it was pretty clear that Aurora, it's not even on their radar to get commercial service. It's one runway, and they're looking for an expansion, and it's controversial. It spans the border of two counties.
Sure.
It etches into farmland. So Aurora is a totally different beast. So the money, in the time remaining, and hopefully people will let us know if they want to hear more about this. So can they email you?
Or KYKN
Anytime. Call newsmakers, email newsmakers, and tell us the kind of things you want to hear us talking about. Or if you want to hear more about the commercial air service recruitment effort, let us know. I'm probably going to talk about it anyway, folks, so you might as well give us the thumbs up.
Welcome to my world.
All right, what's next is to apply for those grants. I want to let everybody know the timeline. We're hoping our best case would be have airline service in 2020.
That's originally talking the
first quarter, but that's pretty optimistic, Derek, honestly. We do need to raise community money as pledges to help recruit. We talked about that before the break. Community money to add to the grant money so that an airline can be enticed into coming. And of course, the timeline. You know, we're well on our way. We think we're going to be pitching airlines if everything goes well in April of next year.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And then it takes a long time to get
you
to
haven't
the
been
calendar.
Working on this over a decade, have you?
Yeah. I've been wishing for it for over a decade. So, mixed bag out of Salem.
10 years. Yeah.
It has been. Mixed bag out of Salem City Council last night. So we'll get the mayor back on, or Councilor Jim Lewis, and the aftermath and the fallout of the vote on pushing off again any decision on the third bridge, river crossing into January's work session.
That just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
And kudos to the Salem City Council for allowing the application for recruitment for commercial air service to fly in and out of Salem like the capital city should.
Right.
Like a region should.
That only makes sense.
Some people would like to see it. Oregon Wine Country Airport. What do we have going for us? We got wine, we got weed, right? So Oregon Wine and Weed, maybe not. We'll stay away from that. Thanks for being with us. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.